implications that this has for the entire world.
Exactly, Danny. This is not only about West Asia. This is Global South. Because if there is a circumscribed attack against Iran, and the reverberations are going to be across West Asia mostly, there will be extra reverberations all across the Global South, in Northeast Africa, in the Caucasus, linked to Ukraine as well, in Central Asia, you name it. The Chinese are paying a lot of attention, of course. If you read Chinese media, which is a pyramid scheme, on the top, there is the Ministry of Information, the Xinhua News Agency, and then everything that goes down is filtered by these two on top. So basically read the same thing everywhere. But if you read the relatively independents, like our friends from Shanghai at Guancha, when you have some, especially good think tankers and academics from some of the top universities, from Renmin or from Tsinghua, from Fudan, etc. This photo is brilliant. Yes, Ali Larijani with Abdul Salam from Yemen. If you read these guys in China, they are basically calling Trump's bluff. And that's very, very interesting coming from Chinese academics. But they don't say anything about the Chinese position vis-a-vis Iran, which is even more telling than if they were saying something. This means that this relationship is extremely sophisticated and a matter of national security for China, which it is. Not only Iran is the most important partner of the Belt and Road Initiative in West Asia. And it's very important as a transit corridor for China from east to west via Central Asia and West Asia. But there's the matter, very, very important, of their comprehensive strategic partnership, which includes a military axis, not at all, but means military exchanges at the highest level. And of course, if the Iranians ask the Chinese, look, we cannot buy a J-20 from you right now, but in terms of counter intel, electronic systems, or all that, we would need so. And the Chinese, just like the Russians, they will provide it. And in terms of satellite imagery, the Chinese can provide anything the Iranians need. Just like the pic that you showed of all the TAT systems identified in Israel, especially, or in the American bases around Iran. That's very, very easy for the Chinese to identify and to pass this information to Iran. More hardcore military material, that's a state secret. Same thing about those IL-76 from Russia landing in Iran practically every day. Nobody knows what's inside it because this is a military secret between both parts of the strategic partnership. But the point is, both China and Iran know the stakes. They know that if Iran would ever fall, the next big targets are both of them. Russia is already a target, and China will be even more of a target. They know that this is an attack not only on BRICS, but on the Global South as a whole, so they have to stick together. So we have, for instance, the last two interviews by Lavrov and Ryabkov, which are two characters that we can all trust, especially some of us who have met them in person. Lavrov is the top diplomat on the planet. Ryabkov is a serious candidate for the number two. And it's not by accident that he's number two at the Ministry of Foreign Affairs in Moscow. What they have been saying is they are accelerating the BRICS agenda by what they are saying already. They have no illusions about the relationship U.S.-Russia, which they're both saying it could be going much faster, and it's not. And in certain cases, on the contrary, the Americans are not doing anything about it. And that all that implies that let's say, the united force inside BRICS and inside the SCO is getting more united. And this has to be coordinated by Russia and China, which are the most important players on both multilateral organizations. And that includes, of course, all the help that Iran can get from both of these, the two de facto leaders of this rush towards the multipolar world. But of course, we cannot have details because, especially in our case, as foreign commentators or analysts, this is out of bounds. And even local Iranian media and local Russian media, which many of us are monitoring all the time, there are no leaks on special military and intel collaboration between Russia, China, and Iran. We know it's there, and we know by every time that I go to Moscow, I listen comments from Iranian delegations or from Russians who are linked to think tanks. They say, well, look, the relation is the best possible. Each party telling the other, look, whatever you need, you're going to get. So this is where we are. I wonder, and many of us wonder, how much sectors of the industrial military complex, that bunch of absolute idiots circling around Trump, what do they know in practice about all that? I would say less than zero. They have no clue. Absolutely. If there is somebody with a IQ over 10 in the industrial military complex, they must have figured out, oops, they have strategic relationships. They are talking at military level, at the highest level. Blah, blah, blah. We should expect some surprises if anything happens. But don't count on it, right, Danny?
Yeah, let's not count on it. Well, I think we can all assume you are not talking about this gentleman, Pete Hegseth.
Oh, my God.
Pepe, that now, and I think that this is interesting how the narrative spin has been changing with the Empire of Chaos, with, as you call him, Neo Caligula, now talking about how they prefer a negotiated settlement or else. Right now it's changed from, we are going to protect the protesters, we are going to hit Iran, we're going to strike Iran because of the protests, because of the nuclear. Now it's, no, we want a settlement with Iran around nuclear energy, or we're going to strike. It seems like a pretty striking change, Pepe, from how this all began. And so I'm curious, how did we get here? Because many believe Netanyahu is rushing to D.C. to beg Trump to strike. But at the same time, a lot of people are saying, well, this is